as we do, we're still dealing, obviously, with mind terms. We've looked at OIDA, looking at what we describe as an intuitive knowledge, not an instinctive knowledge, but a head knowledge. It's a factual knowledge. It's an intellectual knowledge. It's something that you learn by observation, by seeing it. It's related to the verb to see. And so you come to see it, you come to see it in your mind as you see it though. And so it does have the idea of just knowing facts though. So OIDA is relative to eido, which is a verb that's relative to seeing though, to see with discernment in effect. And so when you see, you come to see it and so you know it. And we've been looking, we're introducing and still looking at the beginning of a study of gnosko, which is experiential knowledge. This is knowledge that you learn, by experience. Now, we're going back and I want to express my premises again. I want to go back through them. It's just something I know most of us are quite aware of looking at things. They're looking at differences in things. But when you look at the terms in the New Testament, there are many terms that are synonymous, they say, and they're synonyms. And so there are a lot of words that are translated the same in English. And so when you read your English translations, you see, for the most part, it's to know is to know. And so if you look at it, it just says to know. Okay, so it is to know, and in English, it is to know. However, that when it comes to the Greek New Testament, if we were living in the first century, as I've said before, if we were living in the first century and we got the letters from Paul or the gospel accounts from the gospel writers or the other epistles, if we sat down and the manuscripts were being read to us, we all wouldn't have a Bible in our hands, but somebody would have a copy of it in the various churches, and so they would read it. So somebody would read it. What would you hear? Well, you know, or to know, you ought to know, or you do know, or whatever. No, they would hear oida and gnosko, and they would hear other terms also that relate to knowledge and understanding. There are a lot of mind terms in scripture, but when it comes to the terms that are the main words for to know, they wouldn't hear to know. They would hear oida and gnosko. And so that would be the thing that they were different words. Now some scholars, we'll use the word scholars, and some lexicographers, people who did the Greek dictionaries, the lexicons, and some of them, they will tell you that these words really don't have any difference in meaning. But yet they do. And we do believe in verbal inspiration, the verbal inspiration of scripture. And so we do believe that each word was God-breathed. And so the Holy Spirit, he was the one who bore along the human writers. And when he did, that he used precise words to express precise thoughts. And so the words weren't just, he didn't use this word here instead of this word over here just to have some variety, as some have expressed it. He could have used this different words sometimes. He could have used them in different contexts. But when the Holy Spirit bore a human writer along, one of the authors, he wrote down precisely out of his vocabulary that which the Holy Spirit bore him along to write. And so the words are God-breathed. And so it's inspiration, technically, it's the result of that which is being God-breathed. And so all scripture is. It says inspired by God. No, all scripture is, as to character and quality, God breathed, and it has another quality, it is profitable. And so you can go on in 2 Timothy 3:16, but it is, it's God breathed. And so the very words, not only the words, but the letters and everything within those words, the Holy Spirit bore them along to say what he wanted to say. And so if he wanted it to be an oida, they used an oida. If he bore them along to use a gnosko, he used a gnosko. And so you find the different words in Scripture. And so the Holy Spirit breathed forth specific words to express specific thoughts. And so we kind of miss out in our English translations because we don't have two words like this to express oida and gnosko, which we've been considering. We just do the word to know. And so our translators did that. To make a distinction, you'd have to have an expanded translation. And so you would have to add something to it, which we often do when we come to those terms. And so when you look at it, the words are different. And when you look at them, they are similar also. They do deal with the mind, and they do deal with knowledge, but they have a different meaning. And so that's the thing we want to keep in mind when we look at these things. It's not just with gnosko and oida, but there are many words that are similar, but yet they're different. And so you have to look not at the similarity, but at the difference. And so you look at the differences in words, not the similarity. And so they may be similar, but they are different. And so we miss it because in our English translation, we don't see the color of the term and how it's used. And so that's something, again, this goes back to the basic premise in our study, though, is that to know things intellectually, to know the facts, is not the same way of knowing as to know by experience. And so sometimes when we look at the English translation or if we even look at the Greek text, you may say, well, why didn't he use oida here or gnosko here or there? Why not? But we don't, if we don't understand why, it's our lack, and it's the problem of facilitating our language over the Greek and translating it into English and understanding it, it's our lack of understanding, but the words are different. And so we try to make a difference, and it is important to understand that a head knowledge and knowing it by experience are not knowing in the same way. And so there really is a difference in expression. Now, one more thing I want to think about when we look at dealing with the two types of knowledge. Well, when you have a head knowledge, you learn that by study, by observation. You can't get facts in your head. And so you know these things. But when it comes to, and when we come down to Scripture, we come to church and we read our Bibles, we study things, we do it to get a head knowledge. And so we learn. And so it is a good thing to learn. And one thing that's been sticking in my mind a little more lately, it's there, been there, but don't always express it, but like in the Doctrine of God class, we don't practice the attributes of God, but we can come to an experiential knowledge of knowing God and how God relates to us and how he deals with us and how as we have our Christian life, as we relate to the Godhead, it does have an effect when we don't just have a bunch of facts, but when we actually personally have a relationship that we experience, we can have some experiential knowledge. And we'll see that probably next week or sometime in the Gospel of John. The Lord spoke of the disciples having an experiential knowledge of things relative to him and the Father. And so we'll notice some of those things. But when you stop and think about it, the content of oida and the content of gnosko may be the same. They're the same, but how you know it is different. And so the one, you know it by facts. And so, again, when it comes down to didache, a doctrine you believe and put into practice, when it comes down to didache, well, then you do want to learn it by experience. And so it's not just enough to have your head full of it, Now in the Christian life class, dealing with Christian life, it's good to know. You need to know. You need to know your enemies. You need to know the spiritual life and what it is to relate to the, to be in a proper relationship to God, the Holy Spirit. You need to know these things, but you need to not just be able to pass a test, writing it down on a test intellectually. This is where the rubber meets the road, and that's where you gain an experiential knowledge. So if you have an attack from one of the enemies and you apply what you've learned from the scriptures and dealing with that enemy, then you can come to where you really know it. And how do you know it? You know it because as you experience it, then it becomes not just a head knowledge, but it moves over into your experience. And so you can come to an experiential knowledge. And so that's, I think it is, I know it's important. I know both intuitively, factually, and experientially that it's important to know these things and to move into the realm of experience when it applies to us, and it's something that we should know. Now that was all just a review and of premises, and this is where we deal with words. We look at the differences, not the similarities. Now this morning we will be looking at an emphasis of gnosko as it deals with experience, and we're going to and we see that gnosko takes it a step, your knowledge a step beyond oida. And so usually you start with oida and have gnosko. On a rare occasion, we might experience something so that we do know it. And we do know it factually, but we do come to know it. But usually, when it comes to studying scripture, we learn it, we get the facts, and then you begin to apply it. Now, again, when it comes to living this spiritual life, you don't do it on your own. It isn't bootstrap, but you do have to be spirit-filled if you're going to apply what you learn and live it. And so it is important. But this morning we're going to be looking at some passages that would fall under didaskalia, that is doctrine you believe but don't practice. There's no practice in what we're looking at today. But we're looking at some illustrations, and we're going to be looking at about three illustrations in the Gospel of Luke where we do find gnosko used, and the context will bear out and demonstrate that this is not just knowing facts, but this is actually, you're going to come to know experientially something, something that will take place. And so we're picking up some illustrations out of the Gospel of Luke. And as I pointed out before, and last week we reviewed it when we went through our introduction, we saw that the Gospel of John uses the knowledge terms more than the other Gospels. And when we move over into 1 John, and especially the Epistle of 1 John, again, we find a lot of gnosko there. And so we'll be looking at John some, but then we'll get into the other epistles and see how they deal with experiential knowledge, knowing something by experience, putting it into practice. And so we'll be looking at some of those things in the future. Now, the passages we're going to be looking at this morning are all historical, and so they're all dealing with history, and two of them revolve around the angel Gabriel. And so God sent the angel Gabriel to earth, and he appeared to two individuals, and he gave them, he told them something. And they didn't know how they could know experientially that these things would be. One expression was in doubt. And so he learned by experience that what the angel said was true. It was by experience that he learned it. He knew what the angel said, and it made perfect sense that this is what he said. But how is he going to know experientially? Comes in the form of a question. The next one it deals with the angel Gabriel again, maybe not so much not in doubt, but just in wonder, how in the world can this be? Don't meet the normal circumstances here, so how can it be? And then the other one's just a natural one dealing with the Lord's mother and his stepfather, we would say, on another occasion. They didn't know something by experience. They had assumed something based on their objective thinking. They assumed something that they didn't know wasn't so. And so anyway, we'll look at those as we move into the Gospel of Luke this morning. And so let's go ahead and we'll look to the Lord and then we'll begin. Father, we're grateful again for your word and for the opportunity to look into these things. We're thankful for the distinction of words, that the very words that you wanted are on the page as the Holy Spirit bore along the human authors. So each word is God-breathed and we can depend upon it. And it does help our understanding more if we do see the differences. And again, we're thankful that we do have tools and we do have the text in the original languages. It does express it in a way that our English translations sometimes pass over. But again, we're grateful as we see these things, we can come to know better what you wanted us to know as we look into your words. So